Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, serving you wherever you are.
You are tuned in to Marcus Sahaba Online, and it's a beautiful, beautiful Tuesday morning. I'm your host, Yusuf Ali, and you are listening to the Bliss of Marriage program. It's 8 minutes past 11 a.m. Central African time. And any questions you have, send us a message on 084-786-3132. It's the 3rd of Rabiul Awal, 1442, coinciding with the 20th of October, 2020. I have many questions that have already come in, but send us a message on 084-786-3132. Answering our questions and welcoming onto the program is our Honorable and esteemed Mufti A.K. Hussein. Mufti Saab, Assalamu Alaikum Warahmatullahi Wabarakatuh.
Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We thank our brother Yusuf Ali for standing in for Maulana Arafat, and we welcome all the listeners of Sirius FM and the listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, to this Bliss of Marriage, part 1, 11 to 12, and tomorrow, Wednesday, inshallah al-Aziz, will be part 2.
Ameen, ameen, ameen. Yes, the listeners of Sirius FM as well, enjoying the program, inshallah. Don't forget, feel free to send us a message, and we will endeavor to have your questions answered. Mufti Saab, the first question waiting for us. Salaam alaikum, Mufti Saab. I was engaged to a guy, and my family later found out that he has a past. My parents have refused to let him marry me, but I am already emotionally attached to him. I try to convince them, but it's not working. Can I still marry him without my parents' consent?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nuswalli ala rasulihi al-kareem. Amma ba'd. All praise due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher, and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings, and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In life, whatever we want to do, our first point of reference has to be the Noble Quran, thereafter the Sunnah Mubarakah, the teaching, preaching of Prophet Muhammad Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then the fatawa and the verdicts of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and then the four schools. So Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala tells us in chapter 59, verse number 7, وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ. Whatever the messenger Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, brought and commanded you to do, فَخُذُوا, that you take and accept. وَمَا نَحَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُ, and whatever he prohibited you from, so that you must abstain and refrain from. Chapter 59, verse number 7. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's hadith mentioned in Tirmidhi, Abu Dawood, Ibn Majah, various compilations. لَا نِكَاحَ إِلَّا بِوَلِيٍ. Thus you call lam linafi al-jins, for absolute total negation. How we say la ilaha, there is no deity, there is no god, small g, illallah, except Almighty Allah. When you're explaining to a non-Muslim, you will say capital G, God. So here also it means la nikaha. There is no nikah. The nikah is not valid. Illa bi waliyin, except for the consent of the guardian, the father, that's the biological father, not stepfather and foster father and adopted father, biological father, or the biological, the opa, that is the paternal grandfather, or the brother of that lady there. So that is what is meant. Then third one, I gave you Quran, I gave you Sunnah. Then remember that our mother Siddiqa Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha states, أَيُّمَ مَرَأَةٍ نَكَهَتْ بِغَيْرِ إِذْنِ وَلِيِّهَا. Any woman who gets married without the permission of a guardian, فَيَّ زَانِيَا, that she is committing adultery and she is guilty of a major sin. فَنِكَاهُ وَا بَاطِلٌ بَاطِلٌ بَاطِلٌ. Her nikah is null and void. And remember, according to Shafi'is, Maliki's, Hanbali's, your nikah is null and void, and every moment you will be in the curse of Almighty Allah. According to Imam Abu Hanifa and Mazhab Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib has passed this fatwa. He was the Grand Mufti of Pakistan, and if you want reference, open Imdadul Muftin, and there you will find in page 551. According to the Hanafi school, if a girl is aqila, baligha, sane and mature, and she gets married without the permission of her father, then if there is no kuf, there is no compatibility, suitability between the boy and the girl, then the Hanafi fatwa also is the nikah is null and void. And if there is compatibility, then the Hanafi say the nikah will be valid, but still it is frowned upon. So for you, sister, that to get married to this person totally haram and not permissible. Your parents are dead against it, and rightly so. So you don't let your emotions get the better of you. You must listen to your parents, and don't think you are too clever, because then you will regret it lifelong. And remember, you will just complicate your life even more. You are a virgin, I take it for example, then you will not be a virgin. Then you have a child, and then there will be problems. So you must remember, just forget it, block him and so forth, no communication, all that is haram as it is, and remember in that way. If you listen to your parents, Almighty Allah will grant you someone better. إِيَّعْلَمِ اللَّهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ خَيْرًا يُؤْتِكُمْ خَيْرًا مِمَّا أُخِذَ مِنْكُمْ. When you leave, when Allah Ta'ala takes something away from you, and you are sincere, then Almighty Allah will replace it with something better, or replace it with someone better. So Almighty Allah is giving us all these promises. So we should be the one who should rise up to the occasion. Chapter number 8, Surah Anfal, verse number 70. So it is not a question of even thinking about it. Immediately you must sever all ties with him and give that assurance, reassurance to your parents that, nay, I will always take your du'as and your blessings, and then only I will get married to that person.
Shukran for that, Mufti Saab. The next question, Assalamu alaikum, Mufti Saab, can a proposal be turned down based on race?
You must remember that we have something that is called kuf. So kuf means they must be suitable to one another, compatible to one another, and so forth. So marriage is not buying a car or a computer or something. It is lifelong. So now sometimes some people, they have their own habits, their own cultures. And remember, you have your own habits and own cultures. In Islam, you don't judge people by that. But you must remember, they will be diverse cultures and so forth. So if the person doesn't have taqwa, doesn't have piety, doesn't have all that, and we don't say, and you can't say in Islam, that this color is better than that, la fadla li arabiyyin ala ajamiyyin, that the Arab has no virtue over the non-Arab, wa la li abiyad ala aswad, and nor does a person with fair complexion have virtue and merit over the one who's dark in complexion. So in Islam, what is the criteria? Illa with taqwa, except taqwa through piety, Allah consciousness. So Almighty Allah has mentioned this in Surah 49, verse number 13. Ya ayyuhan nas, O humankind, inna khalaqnakum min dhakari wa unsa. We created you from one male and one female. Waja'alnakum shu'uba wa qabail. We made you into different nations and tribes. Lita'arafu, so that you recognize one another. Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum, and the most noble of you by Allah are the one who have the greatest taqwa. So remember that if that person does not have that qualities that you want for your daughter, then you're entitled to refuse it. Remember, there'll be no sin upon you. And you, the parents, and you, the daughter, you must remember what the criteria are, that the aqidah and the belief structure of the person must be correct. He must belong to Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, can't be Shia and Qadiani and Aga Khani and all these type of people. They might have Muslim names, but they're not Muslim, so therefore that's out of the equation. Second one is the person is your own Jat, your own Gam, your own ethnicity, your own language, everything, but you got no taqwa, no piety. So remember, so why must you give your daughter to such a person also? So these are all issues. Therefore, Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us guidelines. The hadith in Tirmidhi, Mishkat Sharif, إِذَا خَطَبَ إِلَيْكُمْ مِمَّنْ تَرْضَوْنَ دِينَهُ وَخُلُقَهُ. When someone proposes for your daughter, sister, niece, and you are happy with the deen, that person's belief structure is correct, وَخُلُقَهُ, and his character. So that's where you must do your homework, you must find out referrals and references and so forth, and you must get to know us, the ulama, and so forth about him, because maybe he studied by them, or does he come for salat, and so forth. So then you get your daughter married, for so with you, then get her married to that person. فَإِلَّمْ تَفْأَلْ, if you do not do so, تَكُنْ فِتْنَةٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَفَسَادٌ عَرِيدٌ, then there will be mayhem, chaos on this earth. The daughter runs away, she gets pregnant, the reputation is in tatters and tarnished, so many problems there are. So that is, those are the main criteria as far as Islam goes.
Shukran for that. Mufti Saab, a message came in, lessons in comparative religion. Lesson one of the fundamental differences between Islam and Christianity. Person sends us with a smiley face saying that Christianity believes in three gods and one wife, and Islam has given us one God and four wives. SubhanAllah.
Yeah, I sent it out this morning to the team. So mashallah, that you must remember everything of Islam is so perfect. Islam said you believe in one Allah, one supreme being, one creator, and maximum you can have four wives. That is what conditions, so that you have justice, you have the financial muscle, you have the physical means, all that you must remember. And Quran has spoken of this. فَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا, Surah 4, Chapter 4, Surah Nisa, verse number 3. And Allah تَعْدِلُوا, if you fear you can't do justice, for wahida, then one wife only. And Christianity, they believe in Trinity. So you must remember, they say God, the Holy Father, Jesus, the Holy Son, and then the Holy Spirit. So all that. So when I ask them, that what happened before Jesus was born? What happened when Jesus was crucified and died and buried? So how was the world functioning and running? Till today we haven't received the answer. So you must remember that all that Islam condemns in the strongest terms, and say that is kufr and shirk. People who have this belief, Allah has made Jannat and Paradise haram for them, and they are resting place. Resting place don't mean resting, it means the place where they will eventually land up in. Wa ma'wahu nar is Jahannam, the hellfire, eternal condemnation. And they say three gods, and Trinity, three is one and one is three. Till today, no mathematician in the world has solved that riddle. And they say you get married to one wife only. This is the hypocrisy of the Western countries and of democracy. You take people, Bill Clinton, you take politicians, you take actors, you take this one, that one. So they will tell the world they got one wife, but they have 100 girlfriends, they have 10 girlfriends. Committing adultery day and night is their favorite pastime and a hobby. So remember, that is what the Western world teaches. To have two legal wives, a crime, but to have one legal wife and 10, 20, 40, 50 boyfriends, girlfriend, not only permissible, but encouraged as well. So that is the shaitaniyat and the double standards. Islam brought about the natural system, because in most countries, you see in South Africa, today, you go to Cape Town, you go to Swaziland, our neighboring country, and see the ratio of females to male is much, much more. 4-1, 6-1, 8-1. So remember that. What will you do? How will you solve this problem? In a proper manner where there's honor and dignity for both parties. So that will be polygamy, where you have one husband and you allow 2, 3, 4 wives. That is the natural system which Islam has taught.
Shukran for that. Mufti Saab, the next question comes through. Assalamu alaikum. What are the guidelines for permissible warnings against potential spouses? I was told that when it comes to issues of marriage, we are allowed to say about others what might normally be considered backbiting.
Remember that without mentioning their name, you must say that some couples, that their marriage fail or become sour because the husband is very tight with his money. So you must, that you permissible without mentioning the names. Or you say that the wife, you must remember, she, the marriage failed or turned sour because she is not particular, meticulous with the salat. When the sun is setting last 5-10 minutes, then she goes and perform her asr salat. So when both parties are not really so meticulous, particular of salat, you're inviting the wrath and the anger of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. Or third one, joint responsibilities in marriage. They are hukuk, hukukul zawj, hukukul zawja, al-hukukul mushtaraka. Certain things the husband has to do, and he has to bring the roti kapra makan, he has to provide the food, the medication, he has to provide the shelter, he has to provide the clothes and the expenses and all that. The wife, she must be the one who is pure, who is chaste, and looking after the wife, husband, looking after the children, looking after the house and all. She is the minister of interior, homeland affairs. And remember that the husband is minister of foreign affairs, everything outside, external affairs. So that is how you bring about harmony. So then there must be mutual respect and love for one another. Then in that way that marriage will flourish. She tells the husband, why you call me Jan? You understood? Jan, Jan. So he says, yeah, you know, you're just like the janwar, you're just like the animal. So you must remember that. So then she asks, you must remember that, you know, that why you call me Rani? So he says that, yeah, because you're the Nokrani, you just work here and all. So when you lose that respect and all that, you're going to call one another by derogatory names. He will call her FNBs, she will call him another one, you does, you that, and with terrible names. So how can the marriage flourish then? So therefore you call this al-hukuk al-mushtaraka. Both parties have to use, oh my honey, my darling, my sweetheart, my poppy, whatever she wants to call you, you understand? So that, so in that way there, then the marriage flourishes. So there's joint responsibility, there's husband's responsibility, there's wife's responsibility. And now when you analyze it, you say that person there, that marriage broke. I know one marriage broke, you must remember, because the husband was very stingy with toilet paper. Now husband let it need a good hiding, so you must remember that. So how can you have it married and you now want to count every day how many toilet paper there is, how many is there in the storeroom, how many is there in the bathroom, how many? So these are crazy, crazy situations. So as-sa'idu man hu'ida bighayrihi. So in Arabic there's a proverb, there's a saying, indeed that person is fortunate who learns lessons from the others, how the others fell and they got defeated or their marriage exploded with divorce and all that Allah forbid. So remember, you must learn from the downfall of other people, and in that way there your marriage will flourish. But end of the day, we have to beg Almighty Allah, whether we married 5 years, 10, 20, 40, 50 years, daily read Rabbana Hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata ayun, that Ya Allah grant us as spouses and children that are the coolness of the eyes. And remember, Quran Sharif tells us the Satan, the Shaitan, Lucifer and his progeny and children, yufarriquna bihi bain al mar'i wa zawji. What is their aim? Their aim is to cause separation between husband and wife. Therefore we should be reading Asma'ul Husna, the 99 beautiful names of Almighty Allah. Ya Wadud, Ya Wadud. Allahumma alif baina qulubina. Oh Allah, you are the creator of love. Ya Allah, unite our hearts. It's not just the bodies must meet, the hearts must meet. Yes, it's husband, wife, you will have difference of opinion, you will have some disputes. Allahumma aslih dhata bainina. Ya Allah, bring about reform within us. So in that way there, you forgive and you forget and you carry on. So you love and let love. Jiska zarf baraho, Allah in kubara bana deta hai. When you have a big magnanimous heart to tolerate, to forgive, and to embrace your wife, wife to embrace the husband, then Allah will elevate your rank and status.
Shukran for that, Mufti Saab. The next question that comes through. Assalamu alaikum, Mufti Saab. What are the minimum steps that must be taken for a marriage to be valid?
So you must remember that first one, there must be the boy and there must be the girl. And then the girl's father or the paternal grandfather, pa, sa, pa, opa, or the father's brother, so the uncle or her brother, the lady's brother. So one of them has to give permission. Thereafter, you need two male witnesses and they must be there. They heard the ijab and the qabool. They heard and they know that there was ijab and qabool, the proposal and acceptance in any language, and it will be the past tense or present tense, not future tense. I can't perform a nikah and tell that person, say, I will marry that lady, so that nikah is null and void. I am marrying that lady, I have married that lady, so words like that you use in the present tense or in the past tense. And remember, then the mahar, the marital gift, that is what the wife, she and her family will decide how much they want in cash. Your kind, do they want jewelry, do they want Kruger coins, do they want cash? So whatever they agree on and you agree, so that is the amount you'll have to pay. So in that way there. But if you are thinking of secret marriages, that we will just meet up here in the parking lot, we will just meet up in a hotel and just do it and so forth, that even the girl's father and them nobody know, so all that is null and void, and you're living in sin, and every moment Allah's curse is upon you. And if you have children, the children are illegitimate children. They will have the zina and they are bees. And illegitimate children, the lineage goes to the mother and not to the father. So you should understand the consequences and ramifications as well.
Shukran for that, Mufti Saab. The next question that comes through, Assalamu alaikum, Mufti Saab. Can I go with my spouse for Maulud?
So you must remember that people speak of Miladun Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Mauludun Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So remember that we say Hukukun Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam ala ummah. So what are the rights of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam upon us? We have to believe in Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam from the bottom of our heart. We have to show the utmost respect for Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I can say Yusuf, I can say Yusuf Ali, and he can say Abdul Qadir. All that is totally permissible. For us to say, just for Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, take the name and no honorary titles, not permissible. That Almighty Allah Jalla Wala has mentioned this in the Noble Quran, that you la taj'alu du'a ar-rasul baynakum ka du'a'i ba'dikum ba'da. You cannot call the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam by just his name as you call one another. There must be honorary titles before or after both the times. So remember that. Therefore we say Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam out of respect. So first iman, then respect, love. So much ishq, so much love, that what we have love for the Master alayhi salatu salam, and the message of Islam must be more than what we have for our spouses, our children, our parents, our siblings. That is the true believer. Then the actions of the Master alayhi salam, ittiba, we imitate, emulate the Master alayhi salam. The speech mubarak of the Master alayhi salam, we make ita'at, and we are obedient. And then salawat upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, durood sharif, wa nasaru, and you take the message and you help Nabi alayhi salatu salam's deen, you propagate it to all and sundry. So that is what is meant there. So miladun Nabi is not one day, remember this, it is every day in our life, it is every place in our life. I am traveling, for example, just example I'm giving, by plane or by train in South Africa or overseas or whatever. So there also is Miladun Nabi. What it means? My actions must show that Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, is, will always be Rahmatul Lil Alameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the mercy to the entire universe and creation. So that it is. Not just one day we have one big sing song there and so forth and so on, and then they have their big this thing, Kirah, taat and nazam and naat sharif, fajr time sleeping. So what is that? Such is a curse of Allah. You must fajr salat. So remember that it's done any time of the year and every day we must fulfill the rights of the master. Habibuna sallallahu sallam, ye to deen ka taqaza hai. That is what Islam is teaching us. Every day be obedient to Almighty Allah. Every day be obedient to Mustafa sallallahu sallam. We are not like the non-Muslims. The non-Muslims, they have Father's Day, Mother's Day, and then they'll have this day, that day. So that day, oh, very good. And then the other 360 days, they forget everything. No. So ours, Mustafa sallallahu sallam, is uswaya hasana, is the role model daily, day and night, for all times, all places, all seasons, and all circumstances.
You are tuned in to Markaz Sahaba Online. Bliss of Marriage is the name of the program. 0847863132 is the number to dial. Send us a message and inshallah we will ask your question here on air, and many people can benefit. We're also asking the listeners of Sirius FM to feel free to send us a message as well. Welcoming Mufti Saab back to the program is the question. Assalamu alaikum Mufti Saab, is marriage haram for some people?
Yes, it depends how you mean is marriage haram. Almighty Allah mentions a whole long ayat in Surah 4 and verse 23, who you cannot marry. You can't marry your mother, you can't marry your daughter, you can't marry your sister, you can't marry your auntie, you can't marry your niece, so you can't marry your foster mother, you can't marry your wife's sister while you are married to her. So many women like that you cannot marry, is haram. And if you mean that certain people, they want to marry a strange lady, Muslim lady, but it's haram for them. Yes, if you can't afford anything, so then how are you going to afford, look after your wife? You are a total pauper, you don't have anything. So in cases like that, it's not permissible for you to get married. You have to give mahar, you have to provide the shelter, you have to provide the food, medication. So it's not permissible in that case there for you to marry. You have to go and work, raise some money and so forth. You can't be going every day begging people and so forth. Islam does not allow that. Or, for example, you get people that the male, he knows that he is 6:30, that is impotent. You must remember that. So you can't be getting married and destroy that lady's life, you must remember that, and so forth. And you say, no, that I just got married because my parents were forcing me. But you know there's a big problem with you and so forth. So remember, it's not permissible for you to get married. So people like that, you must remember, in cases like that, it's not permissible for them to get married.
Shukran for that, Mufti Saab. The next question coming through. Assalamu alaikum, Mufti Saab. I am 20 years old and wish to get married. I've read Istikhara Salat to determine if the girl I want to marry is the right person for me, and it came out positive. I also read the Tahajjud. I've approached my parents and asked them to get married, but they do not want us to get married as we are both studying. But I do have a job. What do I do in this situation, Mufti Saab?
What you have to do is, before now you got your parents' response, so now you have to ask that girl's father and mother and them, so especially the father, will he give his daughter to you? So if he's happy and that lady who you want to marry is happy and you get married and there are two witnesses, male witnesses, the nikah is valid. But I will not suggest that route. I'm just telling you, if you do that, your marriage will be valid and so forth. Because you're happy, the girl is happy. You got two male Muslim witnesses and you got the girl's father's consent and permission. So what you need to do, if your father, mother, both of them, one of them has reservation, they're not so sure, and you know, so they feel that you don't have enough means and so forth, get the senior members in the family to speak to them, or get the ulama in your town, in your city, that you can speak to them. That is every moment you're committing zina. Zina means every message you're sending to her is also zina. So that is the muqaddamat, that are the introduction to zina. Quran Sharif says, wala taqrabu zina. Do not go near fornication. Do not go near and approach adultery. Innahu kana fahisha. Remember, it is obscene and it is something lewd and indecent. So every time you do that, your parents get the sin for that. Because when you told them you want to get married, they gave you all their stories and so forth. Lords. This is the times we live in, that people are more worried about their son, their daughter must get degrees and so forth, but they don't bother about all the haram and all that is going on. So remember, such parents are an accomplice in that crime and guilty of a major crime. It's wajib and compulsory upon parents that they must get their children married as soon as they get good partners and compatible partners and so forth, and to use the studies, he's doing his BA and MA and CA and Allah alone knows DA and what have you. So all that is nonsense as far as Islam goes. Remember that clearly. Absolute nonsense. It's just a piece of paper and you're allowing your son, your daughter to commit zina. Zina, I told you, don't mean only the action. It means, remember, the broad connotation. So you also are guilty of that. So we need to get our priorities right in Islam. And not all that. And sometimes even in the madrasas. Say, no, my daughter can't get married now, because she's still studying, becoming alima. It's not permissible. So for her to get married is more important than for her to complete the last year and second last year. Therefore, I say to call today, I'm speaking of nowadays, to call our daughters and all of them alima is just figment of our imagination. You must remember that. After kitab, they don't even do. And then you want to give them title of alima. Just say taliba is good for them. So you must remember, we all are students. So remember that. That also is not permissible. You can't be delaying. No, you must wait 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. Then apre joye and this and that we'll see. No, it's not permissible. So we must be very, very clear on all these issues.
Shukran for that, Mufti Saab. The next question. Assalamu alaikum, Mufti Saab. Are there any sunnats of marriage to guide us to a successful and happy marriage?
100% from day one it starts, my brother. So remember that the day you're getting married, so the first sunnah, where are you going to have the venue? Some civic center, some hall? No. Islam said, waj'aluhu fil masajid. Second one, secret nikah? No. A'alinun nikah. Announce the nikah. You know, every Friday, now you can send in your nikah announcements that you got nikah this week, Friday, this week Saturday, this week Sunday. So send it on this number 084-786-3132. And Mona Arafat has Friday morning a program regarding the nikah and the announcements, and that is between 10 and 10:30 every Friday morning, alhamdulillah. So you can announce it. So that is exactly what Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, a'alinun nikah. When I was in Newcastle, spent 20 years there, mashallah, wonderful years. So one day, one Maulana, they told him to announce the nikah. He said, no, this is, I can't do this and this. So I was not there, I was in a Darul Masjid, and this happened there in the town. So I called the Maulana and I asked him, please, you studied, so what is the meaning of A'alinun nikah? Announce the nikah. So then he looked down because he knew he doesn't know what he was talking. So you must remember that so the Maulana can announce it. Or easy way, you have on your chalkboard there in the masjid. So you must remember, you just write there on the board, so and so is getting married to so and so, and the nikah is this time here in which masjid and so forth. You don't have to invite them for the meals, you don't have to invite them for walima, but they must know that this time is the nikah. If they're available, they can come. So that's good. So you must remember, that's the sunnah thing to do. Next one, you must remember, inna a'zaman nikahi barakah aysaruhu ma'una. The best nikah is the one where the least expenditure, you must remember, is incurred. Now we're still in October. The nikah is when? In December. The nikah is when? In January. The nikah is when? February next year. But you will see the doom dam already started. Let's go to Dubai. And then we're going to go buy clothes from there. And let's go here and there. This is all shaitaniyat, all these things here. For what you have to show off and all these type of things here. So you must remember that when I got married, you must remember, I didn't even have money for mahar. My father gave me 41 rand. He said, take this in the mahar and just give it. So you must remember the other day, my wife was going through something and she showed me, yes, the nikah certificate. So I said, bring it, I want to see something. So I saw properly, I said, yes, it's right what I'm saying. We got married on the 10th of Shawwal, alhamdulillah. So that is the same date Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam married Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha. Shawwal, 10th Shawwal is best day to get married. And you must remember that the mahar also, don't give expensive mahar. If you see our old ulama, 50, 60 years ago, you know, sometimes when I go to a place, then I go through the old nikah, because the nikah takes place in that town once a year, twice a year, small towns. So you will see that they got the same book running for 40, 50 years. So it's 25 rand, 50 cent. So if you ask people, what is 25 rand, 50 cent? 25 rand and 50 cents. So in those days, the ulama worked it out. That was the Mahar-e Fatimi. And nowadays, you know, it is in thousands, 21,000, 22,000, 23,000. So because of 50 years inflation and what have you. So that is how. So see, the expenses must be also kept to minimum. Now, I just ask you, therefore we don't go also, you know, to all the haram dandas take place there. So you must remember, if you just look at the table, so now you see all the flowers there. That one flower costs 1,000 rand. And after the nikah people, they just dump that flowers. So how many people could have, poor people could benefit? For what we have to put all this type of decoration and then parda on the chairs, parda on the ceiling. But the women are not wearing parda. So half of them, three quarter of them. What is all that? Not shaitan yet. So all that is innal mubazzirina kanu ikhwana shayatin. Therefore the marriages are breaking so much that the divorce rate is spiraling out of control, because our attitude and our aim is to impress people. And Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, man samma'a samma'a Allahu bihi. When you want to impress people, Allah will disgrace you in front of the same people. Open Mishkat Sharif, open Musnad Ahmad, you will find. So therefore, everything simple. And then worse, they have belly dancing, they have the band and dum-dum and what. Whole night there's a jol going on. Whole week there's a jol going on. One night is Mendi night. One night, you must remember, is Quran Khatam. One night is the music night, Kawali night. One night, you must remember, is the shower, the bridal shower. Then one night is this, is that. Since when all these things came about? All this year we brought from non-Muslims. Quran Khatam is exempted. But that also is that we just want to make ourselves happy, you know. Razi rahe Rahman bi, khush rahe Shaitan bi. We want to please Allah and we want to please Shaitan. Shaitan will be pleased, Allah is not pleased. So that three nights, four nights, five nights we do haram, then Laylatul Jumu'ah, Thursday night we say Quran Khatam. So we can't fool anybody with these things here. So stay away from this. And then you see, when your marriage is on a solid foundation, then inshallah things will work out. But no, we say my only daughter, my only son, my last born. We look for every excuses. My first son, my first daughter. So that, what we do, that we see all the haram things going on. So Allah have mercy on us and guide us all.
Ameen. Shukran for that, Mufti Saab. The next question, Assalamu alaikum, Mufti Saab. After many years of unsuccessfully trying very hard to get married, I became frustrated and started having negative thoughts. I see it as a sign that Allah does not like me and maybe I'm beyond hope. I feel like I'm growing farther from Allah, and no matter what I do, I can never get back that Allah maybe has given up on me.
Remember that is all shaitani waswasa. Quran says, wa imma yanzaghannaka min ash-shaytani nazghun. And when there is an injection, that's the meaning of nazghun, from of shaitan. So first is billah. So anytime now in future from today, you get all the negative thoughts, say loudly, meaning not so loud now, everybody just raise your voice a little bit, say a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytani rajim. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. So shaitan will take flight and fly away from there with his negative thoughts. And read Qul A'udhu bi Rabbil Falaq, Qul A'udhu bi Rabbin Nas, read Ayatul Kursi, Surah Fatiha. So that is how you know your computers, you got firewall. So remember that now you make a firewall against you, prevent yourself from the assault, injection, attack of shaitan. Second one, you must never to make a statement like that, you can lose your iman. So to say that Allah has given up on you, no. Allah Ta'ala, remember, He's always on our side. So we must prove. So Surah 39, chapter 39, verse 53, La taqnatu min rahmatillah. You human being, you must never become despondent, disillusioned, disappointed in the mercy of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. Allah's mercy wa rahmati wasiat kulla shay. Allah says, my mercy, it encompasses everything, is broader, wider, greater than everything. So you, my sister, you have to change your attitude. You have to change your attitude and then you will get altitude. You will start flying much higher. And you must become positive with Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. So you say you tried everything, but you're not crying enough. You have to cry to Almighty Allah. You have to read Rabbana Hablana Min Azwajina. You should give out charity and tell your parents to make dua for you. So inshallah, Allah Jalla Wala will send somebody for you that is compatible and suitable for you. But you must change your ideas. And that is that you must remain positive in the mercy of Allah and never allow such thoughts that Allah Ta'ala hates you, Allah Ta'ala is against you. Nay, Allah Ta'ala wants you to be successful. Ma yaf'alu Allahu bi'adhabikum in shakartum wa amantum. Why should Allah Ta'ala punish you? If you have iman, if you have shukr and you have Islam, so Allah will not punish you. So show shukr and gratitude and show we have true iman. Don't worry about people and their criticism. Hamara maamla saaf hona chahiye. We must be clear. When our aim must be to please Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, to please Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.
Shukran for that, Mufti Saab. The next question coming through. Assalamu alaikum. What are the wali's responsibilities?
The wali is the father. The wali will be the paternal grandfather, the opa, pasapa, al-jaddu sahi, as we say in Arabic in inheritance. Or you must remember al-am, that is the father's brother, al-ammu sinwu abi, dad, the chacha, the kaka. You see, Saturday I went to visit my kaka, Ibrahim uncle, Ibrahim Bamli kaka, we say. So you must remember that they take the place of the father, your brother. So these are all awliya, that they must be there to intervene, that you don't make a unilateral decision, because women are very emotional. They will just see the smart car. They will just see, get the looks. Oh, oh, oh. This chap got blue eyes and he's fair in complexion and he got nice brown hair, brown eyes. Oh, aru lage. You see, whether he's on dacha or whether he reads salat, all that, that's the last thing that will cross their mind. So therefore, the wali will come say, no, no, no. You hold it. We must investigate. So Islam has introduced the wali, the guardian for you, so that he will assist you in making the correct decision. Marriage is for life. It's not that buying a car, buying a cell phone, buying a computer, every week, every month, every year, you can change it. So remember, it is in your own interest to protect your honor, your dignity, and to protect you so you don't make the wrong choice.
Shukran for that, Mufti Saab. The next question, Assalamu alaikum. I have heard that if someone commits fornication, they must repent before they get married. Otherwise, marriage will not be accepted. Is this true?
There are three issues here. If a person committed fornication, so remember the Quran, fornication means they're not married. So remember in a case like that, both parties, they were not married. So Quran says, Surah 24, verse 2, Azaniyatu azani, fajlidu kulla wahidin minhuma miyata jalla. You must give both of them 100 lashes. You must whoop them 100 lashes. Wala ta'khudhkum bima ra'fa. And don't show them any mercy and compassion fi deen Allah. Allah's deen must prevail. The laws of Allah must prevail. And this must not be a secret thing. Wal yashhad adabahuma. Ta'ifatun min al-mu'mineen. The 100 lashes must be given in public so that the Muslims must witness it and it must become a deterrent to society. How dare you go and commit this? That boy, he got involved with a married lady. That husband is half Sleepy Joe and he goes to work and this guy goes there. He's saying he's doing plumbing, he's doing carpentering and he's going to do other kind of plumbing and what have you. So in that case, he will get 100 lashes and for that lady there, remember, it's a death penalty. He committed fornication and she committed adultery. So that is Islam for male and female. Third husband, yeah, he got busy with his secretary. So you must remember, for him is a death penalty and his secretary is 100 lashes. She's not married. So that is how Islam works. So at all times you have to make tawbah. You must remember that. Not only when you commit fornication or adultery. Daily we are guilty of 100,000 sins. وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا أَيُّهَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. So turn to Almighty Allah in tawbah and repentance, all of you. Then only will you be successful. So it's right. So make sincere tawbah. And then if you are sincere, Allah Jalla Wala will let your marriage flourish. But if you don't make tawbah, then remember, you say shaitan will also come. You got away once, so you got away twice. So premarital is haram, extramarital is haram. So all these illicit relationships and affairs are all haram. Islam wants a pure and a chaste system, not like the satanic system we have nowadays in Muslim countries, Arab countries, non-Muslim countries. Adam and Eve, Adam and Steve, Madam and Eve, all these are satanic systems when you have relationships, illicit, illegal relationships. So all that are haram, we must be clear on that issue.
Shukran for that. Mufti Saab, the final question before we start to run out the program. Assalamu alaikum, Mufti Saab. I've been married twice. Now someone wishes to marry me. However, when I talk about my life prior to my last divorce, he stops me, saying he's only concerned with what I am now, but I want to talk about my first marriage. How do I do it?
So Allah alone knows. You say that you are married twice, so what happened? If it's both time divorced, then remember, you need to take a good look at yourself, because it's very, very rare to say in both cases the husband was wrong and you were the right person and right in the right. So most probably it will be that in some cases or most of the time you were in the wrong and they also committed wrong. So obviously that if you are happy, you want to get married third time, he's happy. But what about your father? What about your brother if your father has passed on? Are they giving you permission? So all these are questions you need to ask yourself. Today we say, you know, some woman that I know personally, you must remember that. So I asked them, because there are some masla, so I asked her, how many times you were married? So she said, 6 times already. Another woman, I asked her, how many times you married? Say, 8 times already. So I even asked her, don't you even feel shy that you got married to 8 different husbands? So she told me, you know, my children, when they go to school, that all the students, they play, they mock at them, that your mommy got 8 husbands, you know. So I said, see what you're doing to your children. You're breaking, shattering their confidence also. She says, you don't understand. She's telling me that what loneliness is. So she wants husband, not for husband-wife relationship. She says she's feeling very lonely. So she went through 8 husbands already. Allah alone does this was how many years ago, 1-2 years. Maybe she reached 10 already. I don't know. So you must remember that these type of things there. So that you must choose selection or spouse, it must be based on iman, it must be based on taqwa, it must be based on good character and all. Not the jamal and not the mal. That is where we go wrong today. Jamal is the beauty. We just look, oh, this lady is the woman of my dreams. That look at her, her features and her looks and all. Akal woy ke ni woy, you know, whether she got brains or she don't have brains. You must remember that. So you must remember that. And then that is Jamal and Mal. You say, me now, I'm a poor guy, man. Where I'm going to stay poor all my life? Let me get married to this rich one. When you get married to the rich one, everything will be on her name. And when you talk too much, she'll say, there's the door there. So remember that the car will be on her name, the house will be on her name, the furniture will be on, everything will be on her name. They won't put on your name normally. So you must remember, you will become her slave eventually. So therefore, because your intention was like that, and the hadith in Mustada Ahmad, when you married the rich lady, for this intention, that for her richness you married her, فَإِنَّمَا أَذَلَّهُ اللَّهُ, Allah will disgrace you in this world also. So therefore, don't make mistake of Jamal and Mal. If there is deen, there's true piety, everything, and then with that there's Jamal, there's beauty, with that there's Mal and wealth, then it's very good, we got no problem. But to make Jamal the beauty, to make Mal the wealth, criteria number one, that is totally incorrect Islamically. So therefore, sister, you must think, because according to me, the way you pose the question, I think you also have contributed a lot to the divorce of your, if your marital home broke your home. So the husbands are guilty, but you also are guilty. So are you prepared to go through the trauma and all that, Allah forbid? So you know your situation. Ask your parents, make istikhara, and that is our advice to you. Shukran ya Rabbi, shukran
Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, serving you wherever you are.